right now at 7. One person is dead after a double stabbing in Wake Forest. Why investigators say this was not a random crime. Then,
we've never done this before. Never. But we just felt, when I heard about it, I couldn't get it off my heart.
North Carolinians came out against casinos being built in the state as lawmakers decide the future of their expansion. See a live report.
The new timing of a front that will increase our chances for rain and storms. And the newest forecast track for Tropical Storm Lee.
Right now at 7, we are taking a live look at a beautiful evening in Beaufort, where hopefully temperatures are starting to cool down after we reached a new high of 98 degrees today, our 61st day this year hotter than 90 degrees. Good evening and thanks for joining us. I'm Ashley Rowe.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. We also have our 13th official named storm in the tropics, Tropical Storm Lee. Still a week or so out from any possible impact in the U.S., but WRAL's meteorologist Kat Campbell in the Severe Weather Center tracking the storm for us, Kat.
And it developed quite quickly overnight. It's already a tropical storm now. Top winds 45 miles per hour as it moves to the west-northwest at 16 miles per hour. Here is the official forecast track from the National Hurricane Center. It should become a hurricane by tomorrow night or early Thursday morning. And then it's possible it undergoes rapid intensification by the weekend, calling for a Category 4 hurricane. Some of the intensity models even elevating this to a Category 5 hurricane by the time we get to the weekend. The model consensus and the official forecast track does carry Lee north of Puerto Rico and the Leeward Islands. We're going to be watching the long-term evolution of this system quite closely. So let's take a look here at the model plots. Most continue to veer it off to the north and west, but the trend that we've noticed today is Bermuda's right here is a trend farther west of Bermuda. At this point, we have not seen our major global model show a direct hit to North Carolina, but it is too early to rule out any U.S. impacts because we're still 7 to 10 days out from any of those impacts. So we'll watch it for you. The big story today was our record high of 98 degrees, breaking the previous record set back in 1954. It could be even hotter tomorrow. 100 is our forecast high. This would be only the second time we've ever hit 100, there are only two other times. So the third we've ever hit 100 during September at RDU. It is going to be a hot day tomorrow. Luckily, we have a cold front on the way. I'll track when it arrives coming up.
That sounds nice. Kat, thank you.
Today, the student accused of shooting and killing a UNC professor on campus was indicted on charges. 34-year-old doctoral student Tylee Shi is charged with murder and discharging a firearm on educational property. She is in jail on no bond. And tonight, we are less than an hour away from a candlelight vigil honoring the UNC professor killed on campus. Organizers and the public will remember Zhu Jieyan, who was shot to death last week. WRAL's Julian Grace is at tonight's memorial at the Cary Arts Center tonight. Good evening, Julian.
Good evening, Ashley. Ashley, I do want to tell you this. Within the last 5 minutes, organizers showed up for the memorial as they get everything together. You see a crowd of people right there working at a feverish pitch. They want to be ready by 7:45. Now, all of this starts at 7:45, and it runs till about 9 o'clock. We are expected to hear kind words about Dr. Yin and his impact. He also served as an associate professor in UNC's Department of Applied Physical Sciences, and many describe Dr. Yin as a scholar, a friend, and a colleague. There are so many people that were inspired by his work, and we hope to hear from some of those individuals later tonight at 10 and 11. And Ashley, I'm told there's expected to be a lot of people right here. I think they expect them to fill this courtyard that is right here behind me.
It'll be a powerful moment. Julian Grace, live in Cary. Thank you, Julian.
In the last 2 hours, we have learned a lot more about a woman who is dead now after two people were stabbed at a home in Wake Forest. Investigators still on the scene at this hour trying to figure out exactly what happened. Wake County deputies responded to this home on Ligon Mill Road. This is around 11:30 this morning. That's where they found two adults with stab wounds in what's believed to be at this point a domestic incident. Both victims were taken to the hospital with serious injuries, and one of them later died. Investigators have been on the scene for more than 6 hours today. They have said that the stabbing was not random and that there is no threat to the public.
Just 3 weeks into the new school year, and NC State is dealing with a student's death on campus. The university is sharing a few details about what happened. Today, the university confirmed a student died outside the 12-story Sullivan Residence Hall. In his message to students, Chancellor Randy Woodson promoted mental health resources for students and staff, including a crisis hotline. Students, especially first-year students, are still trying to process what happened.
The first time I found out, I saw the police in front of the hall, and I asked some guy in the elevator, I'm like, hey, do you know what happened? He said there was a student death. And so, it was pretty shocking. I didn't know how to take it at first, and I still don't really know how to take it.
The university added 15 counselors this year and now has an embedded counselor for each college. Those changes were part of an extensive set of recommendations put forward by the Student Mental Health Task Force. It was launched in response to a series of deaths last year. If you or anyone you know is having thoughts of suicide or going through a crisis, there's a 24-hour lifeline staffed and ready to help. Just dial 988.
I'm Matt Tallhelm in the WRAL Live Center. We've learned police have arrested a couple in connection with the killing of a man in Rocky Mount. This shooting happened Saturday morning right here on Tessie Street in these apartments right here. This is not too far from Marigold Park in Rocky Mount. I want to show you the two suspects who have now been arrested. These two right here on your screen, you can see this is 31-year-old Melody Shipman and 28-year-old David Edwards. They were arrested about 2.5 hours away from Rocky Mount in High Point after police say they led them on a high-speed chase there. They are now charged with shooting and killing Jermaine Pone, a 39-year-old there in Rocky Mount early Saturday morning. Again, Rocky Mount police are telling us these two are dating. They are a couple there. They are now facing charges in connection with that killing.
Matt, thank you. Right now, Goldsboro leaders are discussing whether to raise salaries for firefighter and police officers in the city there. The Goldsboro Police Department says as of last month, nearly 34% of officer positions are vacant. Up to 15% of firefighter positions are also unstaffed. Both departments say their current salaries are just too low to attract and keep staff in the area. The fire chief tells WRAL these staffing shortages, in his opinion, makes the city less safe for the public and first responders. Some residents say they'd support some pay increases.
We need to have full staff, and with that low percentage, you know, I just don't feel that we're covered.
WRAL reached out to every Goldsboro City Council member and the mayor to ask if they'd support the raises. Council members Hiawatha Jones and Bill Broadaway responded, saying they support the pay raises and are reviewing the plans submitted by the departments.
State House lawmakers came back to Raleigh today to discuss whether to expand gambling in North Carolina. Republican leaders are supporting adding up to 4 new casinos and allowing video slots across the state. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie heard from some today who don't want to see that happen.
The state lawmakers are talking about adding new casinos in Nash, Anson, and Rockingham counties. But all those discussions are happening behind closed doors. And that's led some to accuse Republican leaders of cutting backroom deals with some of the gambling firms that have spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on campaign contributions. Some people who live in the communities where the casinos would go think those casinos could bring crime and lower property values. They came to Raleigh today to tell lawmakers they want to have a say in the issue with local referendum votes. So far, legislative leaders aren't willing to do that. They say these so-called entertainment districts would be a big boost for economic development in rural areas, and they would create jobs and bring in tax revenue. There are members of both parties who are opposed to expanding gambling, so Republican leaders are pushing to put the expansion into the state budget to make it easier to pass. However, we're hearing that some lawmakers are saying they won't support the budget if there's gambling in it, and social conservatives are warning GOP leaders it could cost them votes next November. Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Raleigh.
Coming up, one of the most popular classes in Wake County right now is 3 years old. Still ahead, the explosion in interest in the pre-K program and just how big it's gotten. Plus, numerous health scares are calling attention to the age of those serving in elected office. After the break, we go in depth to discuss age limits for politicians and what history has to say about it.
The county's preschool program for 3-year-olds has been so successful, it's expanding. It's one of 2 programs like it in North Carolina. Wake 3 School started last year. There were 1,000 applications for 100 slots. It was so successful that all parties decided to expand that this school year to 200 slots. It's free to parents who meet the income eligibility. You can imagine why it's so popular. Educators say attending early preschool helps kids develop crucial skills and sets them up for later success. Also hugely helpful to parents.
There are now 200 parents who can be in the workforce because they have access to this program that is at no cost to them.
Wake 3 School is prioritized for low-income families. You can find information about the program on our website, WRAL.com.
As you've probably seen in the news, Mitch McConnell froze up again last week during his speech. Now, if you haven't seen this video, I'm going to show it to you. If you have seen it, which I'm sure most of you have, please bear with me. It's important to the story. Let's take a look.
What are your thoughts on running for re-election in 2026?
What are my thoughts about what?
Running for re-election in 2026.
Oh, that's good.
Did you hear the question, Senator?
Okay. So, and again, for the record, that was the second time that he froze up like that. Today, the Capitol physician said that those incidents, they show no sign of being a stroke or a seizure. But I don't think you need a PhD to find these moments clearly concerning. And it's no surprise that they have reignited this discussion around age limits for politicians. So let's take a second and go in depth. This Congress, the one we have now, the 118th, is the third oldest since 1789. The oldest Congress that we've ever had, what was the one just before it, the 117th? Basically, at this point, our elected leaders are older than they have ever been, and some of them are very old. Think of it this way. The youngest member of Congress is Maxwell Frost, a representative from Central Florida, elected at 25. He recently turned 26 and wasn't even born when California Senator Dianne Feinstein was elected in 1992. She turned 90 this year. When she was 25, Alaska and Hawaii weren't even states yet. Most cars were made without seatbelts, and the average cost of a new home was $12,000. Again, not when she was born, when she was 25. Now, we do have rules about age and serving in our government. You have to be at least 30 years old to be a senator, at least 25 to be in the House, and you can't be president unless you're 35 or older. But there are no rules for maximum age or term limits for Congress, solidified by a Supreme Court case in 1995. At the time, the court found that basically the founders, they could have created term limits if they wanted to for Congress, but they didn't. They chose not to. NPR interviewed a professor from Northwestern who put it this way. Whether you're talking about adding term limits or whether you're talking about a maximum age, you're still changing the qualifications that are set out in the Constitution. Though, this does bring up that familiar conundrum with that precious document. It's old and may not have foreseen a future where so many people lived for so long. For instance, during the Constitutional Convention in 1787, life expectancy in the U.S. was around 36 years old. Right now, in 2023, according to the CDC, it's more like 79. In our latest census in 2020, we had 5.7 million Americans older than the age of 85. That is more than the entire population in 1787. But the founding fathers were pretty smart, right? Perhaps they considered this trajectory as a possibility. I mean, people still got old back in the 1700s. Jefferson died at 83. Adams was 90. Or maybe the idea of an 80-year-old president to our founders was as far-fetched as people having machines in their brains. Last month, the Smithsonian published Woman with Paralysis Can Speak by Thinking with a Brain Implant and AI, which is a major breakthrough in a larger goal to continue integrating tech into our bodies and minds to meld us with computers. Or how about the fact that we can grow organs from stem cells with 3D printers that use organic tissue to extend lives? Stanford researchers are so far along with this, they're running into major ethical quandaries. Check out this quote from one of the lead researchers about growing brain tissue. He said, "Creating a non-human primate with human brain cells is a boundary we wouldn't cross." Just so we're on the same page here, he's talking about growing a human brain inside of an ape. I'm not sure that came up at the Constitutional Convention. Hear, hear, gentlemen. Roger Sherman, delegate from Connecticut, hear me out. What about a gorilla president? If he has a human brain, of course. And while we're still a long way from electing Abraham Lincoln, it is true that we know more today about our bodies and our minds than ever before, including how we age. Frankly, because there are more people who are older to study today than there ever have been. And the newest science around what they've discovered with our brains as they get older is absolutely fascinating. And it's something we will explore in depth tomorrow night. Let me know your thoughts and your questions on this topic or any other. Tell me what's on your mind. You can email me at dan@wral.com, and we will go in depth.
Here in the WRAL Live Center, you're looking live at Goldsboro tonight. We know it is hot out there, and because of that, we've just learned an elementary school in Goldsboro, Spring Creek Elementary School, will be closed tomorrow because of mechanical issues with the air conditioning. The school system, Wayne County, posting this message on their website here within the last hour. They also posted a message and a statement onto Facebook. It says it's due to this mechanical issue that's impacting much of the building, coupled with, of course, the triple-digit heat index that we're expecting here. We have maintenance crews working to repair the unit and hope to have the building and the classrooms cooling properly by the end of the day. But Spring Creek Elementary School in Goldsboro closed tomorrow because of a lack of air conditioning, and it's going to be a hot one.
Sure will. Okay, Matt, thank you. On this day, 27 years ago, one of the worst hurricanes to ever hit our state made landfall. This is video from the WRAL archive back in 1996 when Hurricane Fran rocked our area. 500,000 people evacuated the North Carolina coast trying to escape the Category 3 storm. But Fran moved inland, dropping just under 9 inches of rain on the triangle. Raleigh firefighters received almost 700 calls for service during the first 48 hours of the emergency. Fran left behind four times more debris than Hurricane Hugo, the storm from 1989. 22 people died in the storm, four of those in Wake County. Power crews spent days working to turn the lights back on. Statewide, Fran caused more than $1 billion worth of property damage. Just amazing to look back in time there. Meteorologist Kat Campbell is tracking, well, just look at this. This is beautiful. I've got to just quickly acknowledge what's going on over at Pinehurst. Wouldn't you like to be out on the links tonight? But Kat, you are tracking what's going on in the tropics right now.
Yes, I am. And, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people get nervous about the F-named storms like that one we were talking about. L-name storms, Lee, have never hit North Carolina, so maybe that bodes well for the future of Lee. At this point, the most likely scenario would not be a direct hit to North Carolina, but it's too early to rule out impacts here along the East Coast. So Tropical Storm Lee continues its trek to the west-northwest. Another system closer to Africa, it's more likely to curve to the northwest. So I really want to focus in on Lee. In the red, that's the European model. In the white, it is the American model. They're in pretty good agreement all the way through the weekend that this will rapidly intensify into a major hurricane, a Category 4 likely, if not a Category 5, staying north of the Leeward Islands and Puerto Rico. Here's Bermuda. Here is Raleigh. As we get into early next week, we start to see some differences, a lot of those having to do with timing of the storm. As we move ahead through next Thursday around lunchtime, we're looking at more of a trend to the west than what we saw yesterday for the middle of next week. Yesterday, the models were positioned a little bit closer to Bermuda, bringing a threat of a direct impact there. But we're seeing kind of that recurve to the north in between the East Coast and Bermuda on the models today. So we're going to have to closely monitor this to see if that trend to the west continues. It's still too early to rule out, as I mentioned, the U.S. impact. So this is really one that you'll need to keep checking in on as we move throughout the coming weeks. A major hurricane should develop, though. Bottom line there, we're going to keep an eye on this for you, and we'll need to monitor this trend to the west that we've noticed today. For us, the big story this week has been the heat. We could hit 100 tomorrow with the southwest wind. The normal high this time of year, 85. That would be 15 degrees above normal, 10 degrees above normal Thursday, still in the 90s on Friday, and then toward the weekend, we're still above normal, but at least it'll be more tolerable. High temperatures fall into the upper 80s thanks to a cold front coming our way. It's still 94 degrees even at this hour. It's almost sunset and it's 94 in September in Durham. In Raleigh at Dix Park, there's some pups and people having a nice picnic in this heat, 94 and 94 degrees in Fayetteville as well. As the cold front moves closer to us Friday and brings some of the relief in terms of temperatures, it could also bring some relief in terms of rain. We've got a 40% chance of scattered storms Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and the 90s are coming right back next week. We only average 4 90-degree days during the month of September. We should well surpass that this year.
Jeez.
All right, Kat, thank you. As the triangle continues to grow, our airport appears to be following suit.
Yeah, after the break, a major facelift coming to RDU International.
Taking a live look at RDU right now, the airport's main runway has been approved for a major facelift.
A lot of changes out there. The FAA signed off on the airport's authorities plan to replace it with a newer, longer one. The replacement runway will be built from about 500 feet from the current one, so it can stay in operation during construction. This will also make room for future additions and more gates at Terminal 2. The new one will allow more distance for takeoff and landing. This project is expected to cost more than $500 million and be completed by 2028. So April 3rd, 2024, that is the date Pinehurst number 10 will open to golfers. It looks nice, doesn't it?
Pinehurst posted this video on its Instagram today. Those looking to be the very first to try it out can book their tee times right now.
My birthday's in April if you're looking for a, just saying.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, we have a name.
So say hello to Kipeki. It means unique. It's the rare spotless giraffe that was born July 31st at Bright Zoo in Tennessee. I mean, they say this is maybe the only one on the planet or ever. The zoo director announced the name today on the Today Show. He's known for being the only solid giraffe in the world, according to the zoo. As you can see, her mom has spots, but the little one born without them. Some people are saying they should have named
cool.
him Spot. That worked.
Oh,
thanks for
I would have enjoyed that one.
Thanks for joining us tonight.
Our next newscast is at 10 on Fox 50 and 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.